Man, I tell you what, hope for tomorrow, amen. And wow, just goes right along with the message this morning and what the Lord has for us. I just sense the Lord's Spirit among us, and I'm so thankful for that and so grateful that you folks have come to worship. And I believe the Lord honors that, and I believe He's going to honor it this morning as we get into the Word. And boy, He's already met with us in the singing, and just so thankful for that. The sweet spirit. Thank you, choir. Boy, I say too much about it. I don't know, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for our choir. You guys, y'all do a wonderful job. And please don't stop. And if the Lord's been tugging on your heart, and you're a member of our church, and you'd like to participate in helping with our worship service and the singing of the choir, I ask you please to do that. Be obedient to the Lord, and what a wonderful ministry that the choir has. Well, so good to see you folks. Again, we got visitors here this morning. It's good to have the Tuckers here with us, and all the way, is it from Tifton? Did I say that right? Yeah, Tifton, Georgia, and just good to have them and others here. Don't want to miss anybody. Start naming off names. I know I'll miss somebody, but good to have you here. Joanne and I had a great time at the Wilds Christian Camp, and people have asked me, "Hey, Pastor, how was the Wilds?" I said, "It was wild," and it was really wild, but we had a good time. We went up there with them on Friday, took the bus up, and the Lord gave us safety, and man, Friday night, the message, I will be honest with you on this, it was a challenge for me Friday night. The teens didn't have any problems at all during the message. They did great, but the message, because of teens coming in from all different states and the time of day, they had supper, then they got into checking in, they didn't start preaching. The message did not start until 10:45 p.m., And it was hilarious when that message got going. I'm, you know, all the adrenaline's going with the teens, and man, they're all down there bubbly. Brother Ricky and I were like, so we actually had to stand up. Brother Ricky and I, we kind of propped up against each other back there up in the balcony because to stay awake. But it was just a phenomenal preacher, Aaron. I can't remember his last name, and he's doing a wonderful job. I hadn't heard about the message last night. We left before supper to get back here. And then they had they're having a service this morning before they head back down the mountain. So let's be praying for them, and just looking forward to the testimonies tonight. Can I encourage you? You want to be an encouragement to those teenagers. Do your best to be here tonight to hear their testimonies. We're going to be having testimonies from the college and career group and the teenagers of how the Lord's worked in their hearts through the messages. And so if you can be here, try to be. I know it'll be an encouragement. I'm looking forward to just a sweet, sweet service. And I have to say one more thing about the Wilds. My wife, we took little Caroline up, and my wife, she actually did the zip line across the valley. She went across, and praise God, she came back. I was so thankful, me and little Caroline sitting there on the balcony waiting for our sweet mommy and wife to come on back. But she did, and she did a great job, and man, that was great. The teens were just having a wonderful time, and I was just saying, "Well, preacher, why didn't you ride it?" Well, I have a confession to make. This old boy was a little too big to be on the zip line. They said, "There's a weight limit on that, preacher." I said, "All right, all right." Well, I did say this. I will say this to my church, though. All right, we got to lay off. Y'all stop buying me double stuff Oreos. Let's just go to the single stuff, okay? We'll start with that. Not the thin ones yet, okay? We'll work toward the thin Oreos, okay? But thankful for we had a good time, and the Lord helped us, and just a sweet, sweet time. Well, if you want to find your place in your Bibles in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 4, we've been studying through the book of Daniel for those of you that are guests with us today, and I'm doing an expository series through the book of Daniel, and this is exactly where we are today. Verse 17 is where we'll be picking up. But you know, I want you to something very interesting, and how just the providence of God and how He works out things perfectly. And that's one of the reasons I do prefer expository preaching. I'm not against topical messages. I preach textual messages. I'm doing it right now in Ephesians. That's a textual message. I've taken a passage and I'm preaching through a passage. But when you take a book and you just start preaching through it, and you just go through it as the Lord leads you, as you're studying it, and look what God has done for us, church. I started this back in middle of August with not really any intentions of having this message today. I just was going to prepare and how the Holy Spirit led. Well, He has brought us to a verse, I think, to prepare our hearts for what will be taking place on Tuesday. The election. And isn't that just wonderful, the hand of God, how He had this message picked out for us today. To be here in this, and this on this date, just being right on that verse is not by chance, folks. And I believe the Lord wants us to encourage us. I believe the Lord wants to encourage us and help us. And in such a time of, oh man, what can I say? There's a lot of fear going on in our country. There's a lot of concern, and a lot of that is justifiable. I mean, there's some serious concern there. But there are some things going on in our country that are sad, as we see the news and different things going on with our candidates and this whole election. But I believe God wants us to realize something here, and I want us to read the verse of Scripture there in verse 17. Now, you'll remember, before I get reading here, you'll remember where we are. Daniel chapter 4. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar is basically reviewing this dream. He's called all the people together to share what he's done. We noticed that the magicians could not do it. They did not do it. And so Nebuchadnezzar has called on Daniel to interpret this dream that he's had, and this dream is of a tree, and this tree represents this pagan king, and it speaks of his fall because of his pride, and God is dealing with him, and God is concerned about him. We've talked about that. Yes, he's a pagan, wicked king, but God still loves him. And I'm here to tell you, I will say this to any human being. I don't care what you've done. If you're still breathing this air, listen, let me tell you something. God loves you. That's the truth of the Word of God. God loves. He hates sin, but He loves the sinner. Okay? That is the character of our God. God is love. It's His very character to love. And I believe He loved King Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, He loved him so much that He's trying to get his attention. He's trying to deal with him. And I believe He does. But we get here after this dream is being reviewed. As he has explained it, we noticed last time that the angel came, the messenger, the watcher, the Holy One, the Word of God calls him, came and delivered this specific message about the destruction of this tree. And then we get up to verse 16. Of course, verse 16 says, "Let his heart be changed from man's." This is going to be the humiliation that God's going to bring in King Nebuchadnezzar's life. He's going to turn him into an animal. He's going to be an animal. He's going to eat of the grass of the field. And it says, "And let a beast heart be given unto him." And then, of course, we talked about let seven times pass over him, talking about there's a time, a trial period that God's going to have to get his attention. And by the way, let that be a reminder to us this morning that, listen, you are currently, I don't care where you are in life, you are currently being tested by the Lord in some area of your life. But you don't. That test doesn't have to be very long, I remind you. Sometimes we make it a lot longer than it needs to be. God brings tests, but that same old test He'll bring in our lives, and I'm not preaching on that, but there is a time limit on this, and the time limit is to where King Nebuchadnezzar responds to God's dealing. And that's the end time of our trial, when we respond appropriately. When we respond rightly to God's dealing with us, whatever area in life that is. May we not prolong that. God help us. But let's move to the verse where we're going to be preaching this morning. Verse 17. And he says, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers
and the demand by the word of the holy ones. Now, there is no contradiction there. Some had said, well, look at the contradiction. Why is it plural there? And then you had singular before where it was a watcher and a holy one. Well, that's not hard to explain at all, friends. That I believe that speaks very clearly of, if you want to say, a group that in heaven that is discussing this matter of the king. The messenger sort of discussing it, what this judgment will come upon. Because we know the angels can view us. We know they can observe us. Why couldn't they talk about us? I mean, that's not a far stretch, friend. That's just the Word of God. And so after they had talked about it, of course, the message came. But this is what they said. Why is this dream? Why is this tree? What is the significance of the dream? As verse 17 tells us. It says, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever He will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. You see, we see here the intent of the dream. And I want to take the remaining time that we have this morning and encourage you, church, and encourage you, visitor, that we need to remember there is a lesson for us. That we might know that there is a sovereign, almighty God in heaven who is in complete control of what's going on. The Word of God is clear. And we will see it as we look at it together. The title of this message is simply this, A Lesson for All. Because the Word of God says, for the intent that the living, that is all the living may know, all those that are breathing God's air, that God is giving them, they are the living that they may know. And I believe that includes us this morning, friends. I think most of you are breathing this morning. You ought to be. You got an extra hour of sleep this morning. Well, it felt like it anyway. But we see here that there is a lesson for all. That God is in control. Number one, that is my first point. He controls. God controls. Because you see, in times like this, and especially some of our, I guess I can call some of them my friends. I mean, I don't consider them my enemies, but there are some that use scare tactics during times of election like this, and fear-mongering, and just things that are inappropriate to put fear into people in the wrong manner. And they lose sight of the fact that, listen, there is a God in the Bible who is in complete and absolute control. The Bible says there in the Word of God, look at it, church, it says that the living may know what? The first thing is that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. He's ruling. That means He's in control. That means He has all authority. That means, my friend, we can be encouraged this morning that whatever happens on Tuesday, we know God is in control. Listen, can I say this? Everything is right on course. You think about that, church. God's plan for the ages has not been derailed, my friend. It has not been deterred. It has not slowed down. It has not sped up. But I want to tell you, on the authority of the Scriptures, God is in complete control. And may we not think in our feeble minds that God has lost some control in some areas of the world. The Bible says He ruleth in the kingdom of men. May we be reminded of that, friend. God's plan for the ages has not been derailed, and neither will it ever be. It's right on track. And you know, some of the times what gets us, and I can understand, this is how we as humans think a lot of times. We think because of the evil in this world, God's plan is going to be messed up. But you know, the Word of God covers that and discusses that. You know, even the evil of this world is playing right into the hands of Almighty God. They think they are ahead, but they're right in the hand of God. Now, lest we forget, God is not the author of sin. He has nothing to do with them making their evil decisions, but He will take their evil decisions and use it for His glory. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4 says this, "The Lord hath made all things for Himself." Get this, church. "Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." Do you get that? God says in that verse, basically what He's saying, He didn't say He created evil. He said, that verse says He's going to take evil and use it for His glory. That's what the Word of God says. Let me say it like this, because there's no way, I do not have the capacity to word it like this. Brother Bridges, Charles Bridges, being home with the Lord probably over 200 years, but this man put it in a way that I just thought was very appropriate. Forgive me for it being a little lengthy, but please listen very carefully, if you would, please. He says this about that verse, about "the Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." Listen to this. It is the greatest praise of that He, God, can turn the evil of men to His own glory. Wicked they are of themselves. He made them not so. He compels them not to be so. He abhors their wickedness. But He foresaw their wickedness. He foresaw their evil. He permitted it. And though He hath no pleasure in their death, He will be glorified. Get this. It says clearly, God is not the author of sin. He cannot impart what He is not. He can decree nothing but good. If He permits evil, so far as not to hinder it, He hates it as evil and permits it only for the greater good, the greatest of all good, the manifestation of His glory. End quote. That right there explains that God is the ruler of the kingdom of men. And just because it looks like evil men are prevailing, they are playing right into the great and perfect and mighty plan of God. And Christian, be not sorrowful in your heart that you're afraid how things are going to turn out. You put your hope in God, and you depend upon Him, and you do your part, but do not take the lie, do not take the bait that God is losing control. He controls the Most High. Thank God He rules. As Cassidy sang, He is faithful through all the ages, for all eternity. He's faithful. Praise God for that. So we see that everything is right on course. But can I say this too? Everyone is under the authority of God. He gets the last word. He gets the last word. Everyone is under His authority because He's God. That's His very character. Jesus told us that. His disciples, He told the church. He said, "Church, all power, not some, not 99%, but all power and authority is given unto Me under heaven and earth." Hey, does all mean all, church? I'm telling you, we can't just look at that for the Great Commission. It's part of it. But hey, it's a reality. Jesus is on the throne. And He's in complete control. And He's not taken by surprise. I like the preacher that said one time, it really sums it up. You never heard God say, "Oops." Because He don't. He does not. He's perfect in every way. And He's in perfect control. And for that, church, we can look to Him and be comforted. We can be strengthened as we look to Him. But number two, we see, number one, He controls. We see that it says that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. But then secondly, it says He ruleth, but then it says He giveth. And giveth it to whomsoever He will. And number two point here is He chooses. All right? Not only does God control, but He chooses. He controls and He chooses who He wants to serve Him, how He wants to serve Him. That's His choice. It says He giveth it to whomsoever He will. That's not for us to make the decision. Now, I'll do my part. And if you want to put it in the context of voting, that's perfectly fine. I do my part because I can make a difference, and I'm not going to get ahead of myself. We'll talk about it here in a second. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says He give it to whomsoever He wills. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit when in giving gifts. You know, He talks about giving gifts to the Holy Spirit, and He chooses whom He wills to give certain gifts to. That's not my choice. I don't choose what gift I get. That's God that chooses that. And He giveth it to whomsoever He will, the kingdoms. He gives control who He wants to give control. Now let me say number one, according to His divine intent. Number one, He chooses according to His divine intent. What do you mean by that, preacher? Listen, God has a plan. We know that. He has a plan for the ages. He knows it all, the end from the beginning. He sees it all. And He has a plan. He has from the beginning. And I thank God that even before the foundations of the world, God had a place called Calvary created. He sees it all. And His divine intent is that all might know Him. That's the intent. That God would be known. That all men might know Him and His power and His plan. It's God's desire. And church, please forgive me if I offend anybody. I've said this, but it's just appropriate, okay? It's just appropriate for the day we're in leading up to this election. The divine plan of God, the intent of God, it was never on God's radar or never God's intention to use Washington, D.C. to make His name known. Never. His divine intent from the foundations of the world, God's intent was the local New Testament church. From the beginning, it was the children of Israel, the chosen nation of God, and through the ages and through this dispensation to a place called Calvary and to the Lord Jesus Christ, we now are in the dispensation of the church age. And we are now God's chosen divine plan to make His name known. And let's not get deterred in our thinking. Let's get out there and vote. Let's pray. We'll talk more about that here in a second. But remember, part of God's divine plan, His intent is this, that we get serious about making Him known. Can I ask you something, church? And I'm going to ask myself at the same time. What are we doing to make His name known? That all the living might know the God of heaven. And church, I say this with all the love in my heart, it goes further than just coming and warming a pew in the church. I would never degrade or be critical of someone that comes to church and that's the only thing they do. I'm thankful. Hey, listen, I'm thankful you're coming to church. But can I encourage you to say, take it a step further. And make His name known around where you live, who you pass by each day, through your children. We'll be dedicating Brother David and Amanda here soon. And their desire is going to be make little Christopher, to make God known to him. That's what we do. We make God known. His divine intent is that all men would see Him in His glory, to see Him in His holiness, to see Him in His judgment, to see Him in His love, to see Him in His grace. That's what He wants. That's what He's chosen. And He giveth it to whomsoever He will. And He has given the local church that responsibility for this church age. He's given that to us, church, and we got to do it. We got to do it. We got to show up at the polls. Yes, amen, glory to God. I hope everybody's going to vote that's eligible to vote. But listen, let's show up in the prayer room. Let's show up in the prayer closet. Let's show up on opportunities to go witnessing. Let's show up when there's opportunities to speak of His name. Oh, God, help us. We see according to His divine intent. That's what this plan is. It's according to His divine intent. He chooses. But can I say this, secondly? Not only is it according to His divine intent, but is it according to our devoted involvement? Now, listen to me closely, please. According to our devoted involvement. Now, I'm speaking of God's children here in the context of those that are born again by the Spirit of God. Those that have been saved by the blood of Jesus. His children. I'm speaking of His church. I'm speaking of this local church. He chooses and He gives it to whomsoever He will. And this plan of His, it's by His divine intent, but it's also according to the devoted involvement. Can I ask you a question? Can God's children make a difference in God's decision making? Can God's children make a difference in the way God decides to do things? I say an emphatic yes. It's in the Bible. Go with me, if you would, over to Exodus. Hold your place in Daniel. Go over with me to Exodus chapter number 32. He lets us have a part in His divine plan. And that even means sometimes Him changing His mind about things. I want us to say, number one, man can make a difference by intercession. Man can make a difference in a decision of the Almighty by His intercession. Look at the book. Exodus chapter 32, verse 9. The context is that the children of Israel, Moses had been gone up to the mount, and the children of Israel had turned, with Aaron's leadership, had turned to the molten calf, and they panicked and thought Moses was gone, and they totally fumbled big time. They messed up. They turned from God, and God's wrath is going to be seeking to come down upon these children of Israel for forsaking Him, for turning Him. And look at the beginning there in verse number 9. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people." Now put America in some of these places. "I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." Verse 10, "Now therefore let me alone," he says to Moses, "and that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, I will make of thee a great nation." You know what he's saying, Abraham? Let's just wipe these folks out. Excuse me, Moses. Let's just wipe the children of Israel out, and we'll start anew. And I'll start with you. We will make thee a great nation. Look what Moses responds. Look at this church. "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" In verse 12, "Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?" Listen to this next statement. This is him speaking to the God of heaven. He says, "Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people." Wow. Look what he says to back it up, to why he's praying so fervently and so boldly. By the way, it's not a sin to pray boldly. It just better be boldly along with being reverently. He says, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever." You know what he brought before him? He brought before him his word. And he interceded and he said, "Lord, change your mind about this. I know these people are stiff-necked and I know our country has turned their back on you once again. But God, I'm begging you on your word and your character and what you've done in our lives. Please, God, have mercy." And guess what? The mind of God was changed. The mind of God was changed. He says, verse 15, 14, "And the Lord repented of the evil which He thought to do unto His people." The Lord changed His mind. He said, "Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to repent of what I was planning on doing because You've come to me and You've interceded." Hey, when I tell you something, folks, prayer makes a difference. That's why I hope you've been praying and interceding on the behalf of our country. That's why I hope you've been praying and interceding on the behalf of our church. Because as we come to God, I know what I deserve. I know what we deserve, but I cry out to God for mercy. Lord, would You have mercy upon us? Would You take us and use us for Your glory? Would You take us and use us as a trophy of grace to a lost and dying world? That's what Moses did. We can make a difference by intercession. Listen, I know America has just gone south. And those of you that have been around a lot longer than me, I know you've seen it go down way much more. But can I tell you something? There's still hope. As long as there is a Spirit-filled child, born-again child of God, and a God in heaven who is still active, listen, let me tell you something. He's there. He'll always be there. If that's still true, there's still hope. Because we can come before God and intercede on the behalf of others. We can make a difference by our intercession. And He has chosen it that way. God has chosen it that way. Now, it's not going to... No, in no way would God compromise His sovereignty. Would no way God compromise His character in that. If He changes His mind because of our intercession, it will be because He desired that. And it pleased Him. He doesn't take anything away from Him. But what an awesome responsibility that we have to be devoted in our involvement making intercession. But can I say, not only can we make a difference in God's decision making in our lives, in our countries, by our intercession, but can I say this, please? We can make a difference by our submission. Not just our intercession, but our submission. We can change the mind of God and His decision on something by our submission. Let me read to you for the sake of time. You can go there if you want to, but I'm just going to read it for you. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, listen to what the Word of God says. "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them. And He did it not." Do you see how not only intercession can change the mind of God on what He's going to do in something, in some situation, but it is our submission. If we will turn from our wicked ways, if we will turn back to God and turn to Him, total dependence, hey, listen, that'll move the hand of God. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that God lets us to be directly involved in that, and this is the way He's chosen, but we can. His plan is according to His divine intent, but I want to tell you it's according to our devoted involvement too. Listen, that's what I hope that we will do as a church. We will realize that it does matter the way we pray, and it does matter the way we carry ourselves in a lost and dying world. You must know that makes a difference in people coming to know Christ, to making a difference in our testimony. Who are we to think that we can be carnal and live like the lost, and not go to the prayer closet and have prayer meetings and put an emphasis on getting in touch with the Lord? Who are we to think that we could go without those things and things not be changed? I want to tell you, it can change. God, in His sovereignty, has allowed that for us to play a part. Our devoted involvement. And then in closing, I want us to see that He is the authority. He controls. We see that God chooses. And I want to tell you, number three in my last point, He constitutes. He constitutes what takes place. Look what that in the second part of verse 17, back in our passage, in Daniel chapter 4. Look there. So we see it is the tent that the living may know that the Most High, that He rules, that He gives to whomsoever He will. And then thirdly, my third point, He setteth up over it the basis of men. He setteth up over the basis of men. What does that word setteth mean? It means He arranges. Almost like, I don't know if any of you are here are chess players. I never did get into chess, but I just didn't get up to that. But praise God, I did get into checkers, okay? So you got to at least give me that. I did like checkers. Used to play with my great-grandmother a lot, and I liked it. But I tell you, church, this right here is God arranging things just like He wants them. He's putting the pieces where they need to be. He is arranging to fit His divine purpose for your life. Hey, can I tell you something? That's just not for a nation, but that's for every individual here. Listen, you may have done some evil things. Lord knows I have. Way, way, way too many than I want to admit here this morning. But I want to tell you something. Can I tell you that God is God enough to take that evil that you did and use it for your good and His glory? He will use those things in our life. He has a purpose. Even when we get away, He's sovereign enough to say, okay, I know you messed up, but I'm going to let you build on that. I'm going to let you learn from that, and I'm going to use you in a mighty way. That's our God, friend. Our God is a God of hope. Our God is a God who desires to use His children for His glory and His kingdom. And the only people that get set on the shelf of uselessness are those people that refuse to come to God on His terms and say, God, I know I've messed up. God, I know I'm weak. God, I know I'm base. I know I'm foolish. But Lord, please use me for Your glory. That's what God's looking for. He arranges, but then secondly, He appropriates. He appropriates. Look what He does here, church. It says that who does He choose to do this? Who can He set up? The basest of men, the weakest of the human race, God can take and rule kingdoms and rule churches. Hey, you know what we are? Some of you, I hope everybody admits this morning. I hope you do. If you don't, you need to get that right. But all of us, every person breathing in this room this morning, guess what? We're all weak. We're all weak. And we need God. And that's what God says, I will choose the weak people, those that are weak. He told that old wicked pagan king Nebuchadnezzar, who had all the glory in the world, he had all the riches in the world, he had everything he ever wanted, anything he commanded, it was right there. But God's breaking that down. He's breaking that down on this wicked king. And He tells him right here, listen, king, you ain't nothing. I'm going to use good old South Kakilaki terms, okay? You ain't nothing, king. You think you're big? I will take the basest of the weakest things of this world and use them to rule my kingdom. Because I can. Because I'm God. I'm thankful God chooses to do that, because that qualifies all of us to be used in the hand of God. He is able to work His plan with the weakest of individuals. I know Brinson Jennings is one of them. That's a giving testimony, because I know how weak I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. I'll quote this verse in closing. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things, get it? Goes right out of the text from Daniel. And base things, the Word of God says, things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, this is it. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Hey, if you ever do anything good in your life, You be double careful. You do your dead level best to give that glory to God. Because listen, we can't glory in anything we have. We glory in Him. We glory in Him. He arranges this. Hey, listen, going into Election Day, church, I want to encourage you. Number one, understand God controls. God's in complete control. His plan has not been derailed. Listen, God, He not only controls, but it goes further than that. God simply chooses those whom He wants to use. And I'm thankful that in this age of grace, God has chosen the church age. And let's bring it on down to our level. Let's go ahead and bring it down, church. God has chosen to use Crooked Creek Baptist Church to make His name known. And I pray that all of us will have a heart and desire to realize in all our weaknesses, because we're all weak people. But together with our weaknesses, with the almighty sovereign power of God, we can make Him known. We can make Him known. We can make a difference in our community. We can make a difference in the history of Jackson County. We can make a difference if we simply will understand that God has chosen whomsoever He will, and He has chosen us to make that difference. And then He constitutes, He arranges. He's got all the places right where He wants them, right on track. And then we know that He has set up the base things. Listen, this was coming to a most prideful man on the earth at this time, most likely. That's who this message was going to. And God was speaking to him. But let's just bring the application to us. Let God speak to us through this message. And the question is the same thing that the title said, and it's simply this. A lesson for all, but here's the question. Are we learning it? Understand, husband, wife, God's in control. God's in control, family. Church member, God's in control. And God is choosing you to be used for His glory. And whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whether it be this election or whatever else you're going through, understand that you need to know that there is a God in heaven who ruleth the kingdom of man. He is in control. Please turn off that dial if you hear anything different than that. You turn that TV off. You turn that radio off and you start singing praises to the sovereign God of heaven who ruleth perfectly over the kingdom of men. Let's pray.